tend my sheep. Are you tending his sheep? Is that a part of the work you're doing as you look around you? Are there sheep missing this morning? Are you tending them? He said that to Peter. He didn't mean that was his responsibility as a pope. The Bible later on tells us that he was one of the elders of the church, one of the shepherds of the flock. But all of us need to see that we have responsibility in that regard. No person should ever let someone they know, they love, that they have power over, in the sense that that other person loves them and cares about them, just let them drift off and be lost. At least make the effort. And then being involved in the local work. I recognize all of us do not have all of the possible powers of being able to do this and do that and do the other. That is to say, we don't all have equal talents or the same talents. Actually, that's good. But on the other hand, many of us never make any effort at all to develop that talent that they've been given. Now, someone often will become discouraged and say, well, you know, I got up and I led a prayer and it didn't come off too well. No, they usually don't the first time. When we first preach, those of us who preach, listen, it usually doesn't turn out that good the first time we did. It may not turn out very well later. But the point is, at least when we started out, we made an effort to do it again and do it again until we got a little bit better. If you're the person who gets on the bicycle and falls down the first time and says, oh, I hurt my knee, I'm not going to ever do that again, well, you won't make it in the work of the public work of the church. We need to understand that my responsibility as a church member is not to do surveillance over the preacher or the elders or the deacons or the Bible teachers. That's not my job. God does that. My job is to participate, to be a part, to work alongside, and to help, to assist. That's what our job is. The church is a cooperative venture. We're all in this thing together. And we succeed or we fail together. When a church house closes its doors one last time, a lot of people are responsible for that. And we're seeing it happen all across the country today. Now, you're going to be a part of this thing. If someday they lock the doors on the back and say, that's it, that was our final service, you participated in that. You can make it better or you can make it worse. It's up to you. Truly it is. Listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, it says, he gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be evangelists. I know I sort of enlarged upon that because it says he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some. In other words, each one has his own task, has his own office, has his own work, has his own responsibility, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those three things are the purposes we talk about for which a congregation exists. That's why they exist, to get those tasks done, complete. That's our job. He goes on. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the body of Christ. Not the tearing down, the building up. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Stop right there. Every joint. You know what you are? You're one of those joints. You are, I am, each of us. That's what we are. You must supply something. That's what it says. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now I'm reading, I think, the New King James Version here, but every part. Making the increase, he says, of the body under the edifying of itself in love. Building up the church involves what you supply and what he supplies and what she supplies and what each and every one of us supplies. The religious world has a topsy-turvy attitude concerning this clergy-laity concept. Peter says that we're all priests, all a part of a royal priesthood, in fact. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. You are an elect people. He says a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now, he says, you're God's people. Once you'd not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. If we're all priests, then God expects us all to minister, to be about the work of the sacred office within the church of Christ. A strong church has members with a mind to work. In Nehemiah 4:6, remember they built the wall about the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says they did it because they had a mind to work. A fourth thing I'd like for you to consider is that you need to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures. If you want to be a strong congregation, you need to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 15:14 that Paul described the Roman Christians, and he said of them that you are full of goodness, that you are filled with knowledge,